So we'll continue the morning with another sitting. And I'll do another bit of a reading from Ajahn Chah and his advice in meditation. As we've been reading the story, then he's been a village monk doing study, not much meditation. Then he's gone out and tried to figure out where to find guidance, where to find instruction, how to meditate and practice, how to make the best use of his taking on the robes, taking on his ordination. And he's just spent a bit of time with Ajahn Mun, and that has given him a real anchor for him to train with now. And of course, he's got much time to experiment and practice and train, make mistakes, figure out what's actually going to work for him, what's actually going to work in accordance with Dhamma. And these are his words. In meditation, things which usually aren't wrong can be wrong. For example, we sit down cross-legged with determination and resolve. All right, no pussyfooting around this time. I'll concentrate my mind. Just watch me. No way that approach will work. Every time I tried that, my meditation got nowhere. But we love the bravado. From what I've observed, meditation will develop at its own rate. Many evenings as I sat down to meditate, I thought to myself, all right, tonight I won't budge from this spot until at least 1 a.m. Even with this thought, I was already making some bad karma, because it wasn't long before the pain in my body attacked from all sides, overwhelming me until I felt like I was going to die. However, those occasions when the meditation went well were times when I didn't place any limits on the sitting. I didn't set a goal of 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or 9 o'clock, or whatever, but simply kept sitting, steadily carrying on, letting go with equanimity. Don't force the meditation. Don't attempt to interpret what's happening. Don't coerce your heart with unrealistic demands that it enter a state of samadhi, or else you'll find it even more agitated and unpredictable than normal. Just allow the heart and mind to relax, comfortable and at ease. Allow the breathing to flow easily at just the right pace, neither too short nor too long. Don't try to make it into anything special. Let the body relax, comfortable and at ease. Then keep doing it. Your mind will ask you, how late are we going to meditate tonight? What time are we going to quit? it incessantly nags. So you have to bellow out a reprimand. Listen, buddy, just leave me alone. This busybody questioner needs to be regularly subdued because it's nothing other than defilement coming to annoy you. Don't pay it any mind whatsoever. You have to be tough with it. Whether I call it quits early or have a late night, it's none of your damn business. If I want to sit all night, it doesn't make any difference to anyone. So why do you come and stick your nose into my meditation? You have to cut the nosy fellow off like that. You can then carry on meditating for as long as you wish, according to what feels right. As you allow the mind to relax and be at ease, it becomes peaceful. Experiencing this, you'll recognize and appreciate the power of clinging. When you can sit on and on for a very long time, going past midnight, comfortable or relaxed, you'll know you're getting the hang of meditation. You'll understand how attachment and clinging really do defile the mind. When some people sit down to meditate, they light a stick of incense in front of them and vow, "I won't get up until this stick of incense is burned down." Then they sit. After what seems like an hour, they open their eyes and realize only 5 minutes have gone by. They stare at the incense, disappointed at how exceedingly long the stick is. They close their eyes again and continue. Soon their eyes are open once more to check in that stick of incense. These people don't get anywhere in meditation. Don't do it like that. Just sitting and dreaming about that stick of incense, I wonder if it's almost finished burning. The meditation gets nowhere. Don't give importance to such things. The mind doesn't have to do anything special. If we are going to undertake the task of developing the mind in meditation, don't let the defilement of craving know the ground rules or the goal. "How will you meditate, Venerable?" it inquires. "How much will you do? How late are you thinking of going?" Craving keeps pestering until we submit to an agreement. Once we declare we're going to sit until midnight, it immediately begins to hassle us. Before even an hour has passed, we're feeling so restless and impatient that we can't continue. Then more hindrances attack as we berate ourselves. "Hopeless. What? Is sitting going to kill you? You said you were going to make your mind unshakable in samadhi, but it's still unreliable and all over the place. You made a vow and you didn't keep it." Thoughts of self-deprecation and dejection assail our minds, and we sink into self-hatred. There's no one else to blame or get angry at, and that makes it all the worse. Once we make a vow, we have to keep it. We either fulfill it or die in the process. If we do vow to sit for a certain length of time, then we shouldn't break that vow and stop. In the meantime, however, just gradually practice and develop. There's no need for making dramatic vows. Try to steadily and persistently train the mind. Occasionally, the meditation will be peaceful, and all the aches and discomfort in the body will vanish. The pain in the ankles and knees will cease by itself. The contemplation that leads to the Dhamma is the contemplation of conditionality, the process of cause and effect. In all its various manifestations, both major and minor, black and white, good and bad, in short, everything. When you think, recognize it as a thought and contemplate that it's merely that, nothing more. All these things wind up in the graveyard of impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and not-self. So don't possessively cling to any of them. This is the cremation ground of all phenomena. Bury and cremate them in order to experience the truth. Ajahn Chah also says, meditation is like a single stick of wood. Insight is one end of the stick, so vipassana, and serenity, samatha, is the other. Insight has to proceed from peace and tranquility. The entire process will happen naturally of its own accord. We can't force it. In my own search, I tried nearly every possible means of contemplation. I sacrificed my life for the Dhamma because I had faith in the reality of enlightenment and the path to get there. But to realize them takes practice, right practice. It takes pushing yourself to the limit. It takes the courage to train, to reflect, and to fundamentally change. It takes the courage to actually do what it takes. You've got to discover it in the depths of your own heart.